John Wooden, the eminently successful basketball coach at UCLA during its dynasty years, was asked his secret in producing stellar teams. His answer? We mastered the basics. We drill over and over again on the fundamentals.
If you want to know what you have planted in the past, you only need to see what you are reaping today.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. If you want to be successful at anything, you have to first plant the seeds. Do the work necessary to reap the reward. And it's the same in our Christian journey. Charles Tapp explains with his message, success is not an accident.
There's a saying that is pretty common in our culture today. It is simply the phrase that says, he or she was an overnight success. The notion of overnight success is very misleading, for it gives the impression that the ability to be a success, whether it's being a successful sportsman, or musician, or even someone in academics, and even a success in relationships, that it takes a minimum investment of our time and our effort before you are able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. And what many may consider to be an overnight success is simply the result of many years of hard work that often takes place in obscurity. But as the fruit of one's labor begins to become apparent for all the world to see, it is subtly deemed as an overnight success. But the one that has traveled the journey knows full well that what the world views as an overnight success has actually been the product of years of toil, time, and tears. Everyone has his or her own idea of how they define this thing we call success. For some, success is tied to money and fame, while for others, success simply means being able to make it through another day, make it through another week. But at a very basic level, success is nothing more than the accomplishment of an intended purpose. It is to be proficient in a certain area of your life until you reach that level of attainment. Then it can be said of you that you are a success. But however you choose to define success in your life, there's one thing of which all of us can be certain. Success is not an accident. The famous philosopher and poet Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that everything in nature, even motes and feathers, go by law and not by luck, and that what he sows, he reaps. Although Emerson was a gifted poet, in this case, he was not original. For in this particular instance, he was merely quoting the Apostle Paul. Let's take a look at it in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, where the Word of God says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man and a woman now, whatever they sow, they shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what, everybody? Everlasting life. The Apostle Paul's use of this agricultural analogy of sowing and reaping gives us clear insight into God's universal principle of success. You see, our universe, our world is governed by the law of seed, time, and harvest. And by nature, it is a principle that is neutral. It is one that God has established in both the physical as well as the spiritual world. Simply put, whatever seeds you choose to plant will determine the nature of your harvest. So if you plant apple seeds, then don't expect a harvest of oranges. In other words, if you want to know what you have planted in the past, you only need to see what you are reaping today. Listen, as a student, if you choose to sow seeds of indifference and laziness and choose not to go to class and not to study, then don't be shocked when you receive at harvest time a crop full of F's. That doesn't, you know, relate to you today. For success is not an accident, but many times neither is failure. As I've already stated, success at its core is simply the accomplishment of an intended purpose. Having said that, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we must understand and be quite clear on this issue that God's intended purpose in our lives, His idea of success, is not rooted in how the world views success. Look what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, listen, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery or self-indulgence. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit. In essence, Paul is saying that our lives should be ruled not by the intoxicating forces of this world, which, by the way, liquor only happens to be one, but as believers, we must recognize that God's intended purpose for our lives is to have our lives ruled, directed, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Who says amen today? You see, if you've ever known someone, anyone that has been drunk, especially if that individual is an alcoholic, you know that the alcohol is what's in control of their lives and not them. In a sense, this is how God desires for us to live our lives, not by the intoxicating drink that this world has to offer, power, money, fame, and even sex, but His Spirit is that intoxicating force that He wants to drive our lives. For God's definition of success for one of His children is a life that has been placed completely under the control and the direction of His Spirit. And this is the life that every sincere believer should desire for him or herself. But for many, this hasn't reached any further than a desire. Because all too often, too many of us have bought into the idea that success just happens. That there's no real formula, that it's merely an accident. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Look at what he says here. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Listen. In this passage is contained the key to successful Christian living. For when you and I accepted Jesus Christ into our lives through the power of His Spirit, our sinful natures were not removed, but they remained. For there's always the tendency that each of us has to gratify our own sinful natures. But once the Spirit of God enters into our lives. Now our sinful natures have an opposing force to contend with, but on the other hand, now so does our spiritual nature. And this is the battle. And it is a battle, dear friends. It is a constant battle. And I love how Paul put it in Romans. He says, listen, because of my sinful flesh and because of how it battles with my spiritual nature, the things that I want to do, those are the things I find myself not doing. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. Why? He says, because there's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. For Paul was always keenly aware of his potential to fall into a relapse of the fleshly existence. And if you ever read Romans 7, I hope you're impressed too by Paul's, not only just his helplessness, but his honesty. Because Paul was just honest. And too many of us, we don't want to be honest anymore. We pretend as if we're having no struggle in our Christian walk. Paul says, listen, even though I'm preaching the gospel, even though I'm trying to live a life after the Spirit of God, because I am in this human sinful nature, there are times, moments in my life where I fail. Can anybody relate to that today? Paul said, it's not that I don't have the desire to be a success in my Christian walk. I desire to be successful. But listen, there's a struggle. There's a battle going on. And even though I've accepted Christ, I've got to remain in this sinful flesh for the rest of my life until Jesus comes. So this is not a one-time battle. This is a battle that each of us will have until Jesus comes. Although there have been times that Paul experienced frustration in this particular arena, as we all do, he also understood that his success was guaranteed if he made the choice, if he made the decision to walk in the Spirit of God. What does Paul mean when he says that we should walk in the Spirit of God? Well, let's answer that by asking this question. What does it mean to walk after the flesh? I don't think there's too much disagreement in this area. For to walk in the flesh means that we plant the kind of seeds in our lives, in our minds, that aid us in yielding ourselves to the sinful desires that our fallen natures crave on a daily basis. Much of what makes up our popular culture today lends itself to an unhealthy cultivation of our own sinful natures. There's not much you can watch on television any longer. I don't care whether you have 100 channels or 200 channels. I remember when my family and I served overseas in Jamaica for a couple of years, they had 1.5 channels. No, I'm serious. That's what they had. But whenever we came home on furlough, I would always get a sandwich, sit in a chair, comfortable seat, get my remote control, and I would just flip up and down the dial. But what I discovered is the majority of what was being aired on television, I didn't need to watch. For most of it fed that sinful nature of mine that is trying to destroy the Spirit of God in my life.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Success is Not an Accident. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and it's far too easy to fall into bad habits, to allow the weeds of life to grow and choke out the life God is trying to grow in you. And this week, Charles Tapp offers the not-so-secret ingredient to being successful at anything, especially in our Christian journey. Let's return to the rest of his message. Success is not an accident.
The things I don't want to do, because I keep making the wrong choice and feeding the wrong nature, those are the things I end up doing time after time after time after time. And one of the reasons why this is so challenging is that you don't have to plant weeds in the soil of your mind for them to grow. For if you know anything about gardening, and you know I love to plant, that's why I can't wait till this winter is gone. I don't go to the store. I don't go to Home Depot, which is my favorite store to buy plants. I don't go to the rack and pull out seeds that say weeds and then plant the weeds in the midst of my flower garden. But before you know it, they just seem to pop up out of nowhere. Paul says, listen, I'm not trying many times to plant weeds in my life. But because the soil is contaminated by sin, these weeds just pop up. So even when I don't make the decision to feed or to gratify my sinful nature, I have the tendency to grow weeds. Which means there will be the constant battle, the constant struggle of pulling out weeds. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 have this to say. Because I believe the most effective diet to help strengthen our Christian walk is a diet of the daily word of God. Look at what Paul says. He says, listen, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, verse 26, that he might do what? Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Even in our own Christian walk, if we're going to be a success, it will not happen by accident. Why is it that we understand this principle in the other arenas of our lives, but when it comes to the spiritual, many of us feel the success is just going to happen? Listen, the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul mentions in Galatians 5 when he talks about love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and so on and so on, those just don't appear by accident. But they are simply the growth of one's maturity as a result of daily placing your life, my life, under the complete control and the direction of God's Holy Spirit. It is simply the result of reaping what we have sown. And here's what is so interesting about this principle of sowing and reaping. It is that what is harvested is usually greater than what has been sown. And that goes for both sides of the coin. Hosea says, listen, you have sown the wind, but you have what? Reaped the whirlwind. My favorite flower to plant is the marigold. I just found it by accident years ago. The thing about the marigold is you can buy a plant, yay high, for 99 cents. Place it in your garden. Cultivate it. Do everything you need to do with a garden. Pull out the weeds. In a month's time, that one plant would have multiplied into 5 or 6 plants. I didn't know that. I'm one of these people that I don't like reading instructions. I know what I'm doing. You just put it in the ground. The instruction said, place each plant a foot apart. I'm going, this little plant, why do I need to place it a foot apart? My garden's going to look sparse. I want my garden to look thick. So I planted them 2 or 3 inches apart. First time I planted marigolds. And I went and got the special fertilizer that you sprinkle on. I did all that stuff. Before I knew it, I had one plant that was this big. What I had to do was take out several plants and start 2 other gardens in my yard. I discovered the next year, buy half as many plants. And I can fill my whole garden. What does that mean? Whatever you plant, whatever seed you plant in your life, hear me today. Whether it be to the flesh or to the spirit, you will reap a greater harvest than that which you planted. Hosea said, listen, you plant the wind, but guess what? You're not just going to reap the wind. He says you're going to reap the whirlwind. How many of you know that to be true? Well, I can just get by with this. It's not going to impact my life all that much. And before you know it, that one little seed that you've planted, that you gratified your flesh with, before you know it, you've got a whole garden. But that's a universal principle. It's not just to those who gratify the flesh. But Jesus said, listen, if you plant seeds in the spirit, you will also reap more than what you originally planted. That's why he said in John 15 and verse 5, listen, he said, I in you, you in me, and he that remains in me shall bear not some fruit that you planted, but much fruit. And that's why John said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that you might have life, but you have it more abundantly. Success, even in the realm of our spiritual walk, does not happen by accident. For there is this law of sowing and reaping. And Paul says, don't try to mock God. In other words, don't think you can get away with this kind of behavior with God. Because whatever seed you sow, that's the seed, that's the plant that will be reaped. There's one other discouraging part of this seed time and harvest thing, and Paul refers to it in Galatians 6 and verse 9. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. And the good he's talking about refers to the planting of the good seed. He's talking about walking in the Spirit. So in other words, he's saying, let us not grow weary while planting the good seeds in the Spirit. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The tendency many times is to abort the mission prematurely simply because there's no visible evidence that growth has taken place. So you can plant your flower like I did my marigold, and what discouraged me at first, especially if you plant the seeds, is that nothing seems to grow. And I went out and watered and watered and watered. And 1 week went by, and 2 weeks went by, and nothing came forth. But then I discovered that when you plant a seed, the growth begins downward first before it's ever seen on the surface. Because the root must take hold before there's any visible sign of growth. In our own spiritual walk with God, many of us begin our journey planting the right kinds of seed in the right kind of soil. But because we don't see the kind of immediate growth that we think we should have, we give up. Prayer doesn't work. Studying God's word doesn't work. Not realizing that when you plant seeds, the growth starts from the bottom before it works its way to the top. And Paul finally understood that. So he said to the church of Galatia, listen, don't lose heart when you don't see the fruit of your labor. But hang on planting the good seed, for in due time you will reap the kind of harvest that you planted. And if I had to add something to Paul's words, I would add this, because there are no overnight successes. But it's the daily submitting, placing our lives under the direction of God's Holy Spirit as we immerse ourselves into His Word, which means to be a success in the Christian walk, we must possess the dual virtues of both patience and faithfulness. So Paul says, when you don't see the kind of fruit in your life that you want to see, keep on going. Keep on planting. Don't lose heart. I don't know about you, but as for me, I wish I could walk and live this Christian life outside of this flesh that I have. You ever felt that way? Where you just go to God, you say, listen, God, I am tired of coming to you over and over and over again saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, here I am again. I'm sorry. I wish I could live it outside of this flesh. But Paul says, no, you will be in this sinful carnal nature until Jesus comes. So what you need to do is feed the Spirit so that you can reap a harvest of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. All of these are fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is not your love. This is God's love being planted into your life. This is not your patience, my patience. This is God's patience now being planted into our lives. And the more we cultivate it with the Word of God, the stronger it is, and the more of opposition it is to our carnal, sinful nature. So don't give up, he says. Don't lose heart. You can be a success if you're willing to commit your life to walking after the Spirit of God, planting the kinds of seeds in your life that will strengthen your ability to daily to place your life under the submission of His Holy Spirit, in spite of living in this flesh. That's the kind of life I want to live.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Success is Not an Accident. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify, or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Being discouraged in the life of the believer is when we cry out to God and He does not answer or respond to our cries.
It's easy to become discouraged when it appears as though God hasn't responded to your cries for help. And next week, Charles Tapp shares part one in a series titled, When All You Can Do Is Pray, with his message, When God Tries Your Patience. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.